Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, and we started to look at the marriage feast in Cana, the little village of Galilee, where Jesus and his disciples were all invited. This is where Jesus performed his first miracle of turning the water into wine. And we'll find out the relevance of all of that as we go on. But this is tying up together with Holy Communion and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's absolutely amazing. The new evidence found by archaeologists and also theologians about the marriage and how it is so tied to the return of Jesus Christ. And the weddings would be held at the gates where everybody was invited, and that's where they would ratify the covenant by the elders and they would be witnesses. So let's pick it up today and see where the Lord's taking us.
Stay with me because we're going somewhere. And they would ratify the covenant of marriage by signing it, and that would make it legal. Now, everyone was invited to attend, and it was the biggest celebration. It was always the biggest celebration. Now, what we've got to understand is a wife would be betrothed to a husband, which is very much like a man in the Western world would be engaged to be married. They called it betrothed. Remember, Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but she was not yet married to Joseph. So you would have the betrothal, which was like an engagement, and then the marriage festival and celebration. But they would still celebrate and sing and dance for this actual event of betrothal, like I say, which was like an engagement. And the groom's father, now listen to this, the groom's father would read the written covenant conditions. The father would write down what the covenant would be, and he would read the covenant conditions when they were all gathered with the elders there, and the bridegroom facing the bride. He would stand there, the father wrote them out, and he would read the covenant over the couple. And then she would be given wine in a cup from the groom. He would then pass her wine in a cup. Now you're going to start seeing communion coming into this in a minute. And she would be given wine in a cup from the groom, and she had the absolute right of refusal. In other words, she could refuse a proposal. Right there and then. How many of you have been to a wedding in your year? If anyone has aught against this marriage, stand up now and say, or forever, hold your peace. Yeah. Everyone gets so nervous when it gets to that part. I'd love to be in one where the guy jumps and says, I love her more. I'd like to see what's going to happen. But I've never been to a wedding where that actually took place. But they ask the wedding, right? And then they do say in the wedding, most receptions or most wedding vows is till death do us part. That's covenant talk. So the father was reading covenant talk, and you do know that a covenant was normally shed with blood. In the old covenant, it was blood. Always, Jesus created the new covenant through his blood. You made blood brothers when you were kids. Remember, you'd prick your finger, they'd prick theirs, you'd mingle the blood, and we're now blood brothers. Remember that? If you're part of the mafiosa, you don't break the covenant, or there will be blood. Blood flows. When you get married, now don't get into condemnation. God loves us and forgives us. When you get married, when the two come together, blood flows. That's the cutting of the covenant. Come on. Now, and she had the absolute right of refusal, she could refuse this proposal right at that point. When she was given the gloss, she would take that or she would reject it. So she could either accept or refuse it right there. She drinks, and then the groom drinks from the same cup to solidify the covenant. And then he says to her, here's what they would say, and they've discovered all this now. I love it. You are now consecrated to me by the laws of Moses, and I will not drink of this cup again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's house. Listen, Jesus was preaching in Cana of Galilee to people that were Canaanites from Galilee that understood a marriage celebration. This would happen at each marriage. So he would say, after she drank, he'd say to her, you are now consecrated to me by the laws of Moses, and I will not drink of this cup again until I drink it with you in my Father's house. Now remember those words, because they're going to come up again. Now what happens? The groom now prepares for the day of the wedding, and he builds on an add-on room to his Father's house, or he prepares a room in his Father's house. Are you starting to get it? Listen to this. This is a wedding. There's so much meaning. When God gives a parable or God gives a teaching, there's so much richer than what we just grab in the natural. You've got to get in the spiritual. And then you've got to have archaeologists come and say, yeah, you actually can see certain things. This is monstrous. To me, I'm like blown away from what I discovered through all of this stuff going on. And he says here, in John 14, go with me to John 14. So now the groom now goes and he either builds an add-on room or he makes place in his Father's house. He prepares a room in his Father's house for when they are married. John 14, 2, look at this out of the Message. Jesus talking. He says, there's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? Isn't that cool? Listen, he's talking to the bride. The church, you got to remember, is the bride of Christ. Jesus is the groom of that bride. This is to me, it's just amazing. So the man prepares, the groom prepares for the wedding to be held in his house. He has to prepare the food, the music, the tables, the stools. If they need tents outside, whatever it is, he has to do that. And the bride takes the next year to prepare herself on or with an elaborate gown. And sometimes she'd have to wait months to get that elaborate gown because they'd have to wait for a boat coming in from who knows where. And if they didn't have the cloth and the materials, and they'd have to get it, and then she'd have to get gowns not only for herself but for her bridesmaids. They all had to have gowns. You can't get into this kingdom without the gown, guys. This is just Jesus being a little bit more exposed to us. I'm so excited about this. So she takes the next year preparing on an elaborate gown, and their spouse bride had to wait and be vigilant and pure for the great day. Amen. She had to wait, be pure and vigilant for all that time for the great day. So that's exciting. Now we know the 10 virgins. We've heard the story about the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 1 through 13, don't turn there. But the 10 virgins are likened to what we're speaking about now. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And you can read that, as I said, in Matthew 25. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. So in other words, they were brides waiting for the groom. And then the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, Jesus said these words, he's coming back as a thief in the night. Does that mean when it's dark? Or does that mean when people are sleeping and not watching and taking stock of what's going on? There's a night season, and we better be in the day season in the light of Christ at all times. Because the way the world is right now, the way things are going, we better be very alert and very awake. And not only because of the Antichrist who's going to rock up one of these days, but people stealing your money. Yeah. Scams I'm getting emails. My God, I've got 50 cousins all of a sudden that died and left me $5 billion. What's my account? Give me your account number. And people will fall for that stuff. You would be surprised, especially the elderly. Shame. I feel for them because they fall for that stuff because they've got a certain amount and they think, well, I can double it or treble it or quadruple it up, and they fall for that and they lose a lot of their savings. We better be awake. Tell your neighbor, say, be awake.
Be awake.
If you're not, I'm going to throw something at you. If you're sleeping in church, you're in trouble. And so the five, all of a sudden they hear the shout of the groom coming. And the virgins, the 10 of them jump up, all excitement. Now, talking about virgins is talking about chaste for God, loving Christ, not bowing the knee to Baal, anything like that. They're waiting for God. They're waiting for the Messiah. And now what happens, they hear the sound of the groom coming, and they jump up and they trim their lamps. And the five of them had enough to trim their lamps and continue, but five of them didn't have enough to trim their lamps. And they tried to borrow from the five that had enough, and they said, no, lest we run out, you go and find something in the marketplace. And those five left, and they went to find the oil. And while they were away, the groom arrived, the five entered in, and the doors were shut. And the others came, and they could not get in. So we need to be prepared. We need to have God in our lives, and we need to talk to Him occasionally and know that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and directing us. Amen. Now, here's a biggie. Listen to this. This has been recently discovered. Study it out. I am so excited about it. Listen to this. Now, the bridegroom, the father of the bridegroom, who read the covenant rites, he did all of that. Neither the bride or the groom knew the exact time or day of the wedding. Only the father of the groom knew, the one who read the covenant conditions at the betrothal. Only the father of the groom knew when they would get married. Did you know that? Because I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. And so only he knew the date and the time of the wedding. Go with me to Mark 13. And in Mark 13, verse 26, out of the Passion Translation, Jesus talking, he says, because they asked him, when's the Son of Man coming? He said, then they will see the Son of Man appearing in the midst of clouds and revealed with mighty power and great glory. Verse 32, concerning that day and exact hour, no one knows when it will arrive, not the angels of heaven, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. And traditional weddings in Cana, probably other areas as in other parts of Jerusalem and Israel, had the same situation going. Maybe even some of the Arab nations outside of there. I don't know. But only the Father knew. Like in a natural wedding of the day in Cana, only the Father of the groom and the bride-to-be knew when the wedding would take place. Only God the Father knows. Jesus said, no one else knows the date or the time. Only the Father knows. Not even the Son, he said. Amen. To me, this is huge. This is just so big, it's like mind-boggling. That only the groom's father knew the time they would get married. Jesus was using the culture of the day because they could understand exactly what he was meaning. Exactly. That's why they didn't question him after that. They didn't question, what do you mean only Father knows? Don't you know? They knew exactly what he was talking about because of the culture they lived in and the fact that only the father in the culture would know the day to get married. So they understood what he was talking about. I find this absolutely amazing.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Pastel Brazil Cafe serves fresh empanadas, salgados, and desserts daily, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Located at 8275 U.S. 1, Port St. Lucie. Available at 954-257-49.